Okay, everybody, said today's daf is daf Kuf Mem Tes. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Kuf Mem Ches Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins. Omer Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is telling us we know that there's a din of a Matana Shchivmera. However, not all Lishoinois are created equal. Meaning, you have to make sure that the Lushin that he uses is adequate and appropriate for a Matana Shchivmera. So Omer Rav Sheshes, if he says, Yitoil, or Yizke, or Yachzik, or Yikne, Kulun Lashon Batonein. All of those Lashonis work properly. The Masisa Torah in the Braise, it adds that Af Yichasun, Yachzin, V'yores, V'ro'ui L'yorshoi, V'Rab Yoichanan Ben Broikehi. If the individual who is going to be the recipient, the beneficiary of this Matodesh Chimra, if he also happens to be a family member, like we had with Yoichanan Ben Broikehi, he gives Ben Bein Habonim, he has five children, and he gives everything to the third son, L'mashol, since he's royally Yosha, Bricha Breika says, that works. So even though he's giving a Matana, if he uses L'shoinois of Yerusha, such Yachsin V'yoreis, which are both Aramaic for Yerusha, that also works, as long as it's clear that he's giving a Matana of a Shchemer. Now, what's the Chiddush? What?
Other language, but uses the same verb in the other language, it's okay.
What you're saying is that presumably if he said it in French or in English or in German or in Yiddish, not German, but in Yiddish.
Okay.
Exactly. So presumably all of those other lishoyin, as long as it's clear that it means matana as opposed to something which is more vague. And in fact, we're going to see vague terms in another moment if everybody has a little bit of patience and b'yetzer shem.
Just Yachzin and Yoris are lessons of Yerusha, and we had the whole thing with Yochanan Merocha was that the Matana he has to cleanse or cure the so is Yachzin and Yoris a lesson Matana, like Hoshashis, or is it a lesson Yerusha?
It's certainly a lesson Yerusha. Right. However, you can use that lesson Yerusha and borrow it for purposes of a Matana Shchimra. And the reason is because Matana Shchimra, when the Chachamim instituted it, they were misakin it in the derech of Yerusha. How do we know the whole din of Matana Shchimra? See, Mora said, it's a machlokes with the Arais and the Rabbanan, even the Arais and the Aslach. Exactly. But they did it belosh in Yerusha. If you look back on Kuf Mem Ches Amid Aleph, in other words, yesterday's Gemara, we had towards the top of the Amid, the Inyan of a person goes and he's Machne a Halva, what means Machne. If a Shchimra goes and gives a Halva Bal Peh that's owed to him and he gives it to one of his children. So now if you look at the second of the narrow lines of the Rishbam, Hoyil the Yoyresh Yorsha, what means Hoyil the Yoyresh Yorsha? Lezu HaMilva K'ilu Birshusahi.
They coined it
like.
Where are you reading from? What's it from?
This is a Mesechta Bava Basra.
Yeah.
Daf Kuf Mem Ches. Omid Aleph. Six lines from the top. Oil Vierish Yorsha.
Yeah, okay.
The Zuha Milva. Ilu Birshusi. The Gemara was talking about, as you recall, a person who conveys a Milva Alpeh through the use of a Matana Shchimra. The Gemara said, how can you do that? It's not even a piece of paper. It's not tangible. How can you convey it? So the Gemara says, Hol v'yorish yorsha. What does that mean? That what happens if he would not give him a Matana Shchemer? He would allow his yorishim to receive it. The yorishim would receive it even though it's intangible and it's not on a piece of paper. Because anything that he left over, including halvois bal peh, automatically go to his yorishim. So therefore, the Gemara said, that's the reason why it works by a Matana Shchemer, even if it doesn't work by a Matana Shchemer. Bari. And the Gemara explained, Hol v'yorish yorsha. So again, saying the Rishba. Hol v'yorish yorsha l'zuha milva, k'ilu b'rishusay. A yorish would yarshin this milva alpeh, as if it was tangible and in the rishus of his father who passed away, or whoever the person who passed away was. V'amir l'kamot, the manchon shchimra, ki yerusha shebirabonim. The Rabbanim would institute it, so it should be similar to Yerusha. Hilkach kiman de'isa b'yerusha, since Yerusha, the Halvoats, the Milva Alpeh would pass naturally, so the Chum extended that Matana Shchemer also, just like Yerusha. Since it's like Yerusha, if you use Yerusha language, it also works. Now the Rishbam says over here, on the bottom. What is the chiddush of Rav Sheshes? See three lines from the bottom. Rav Sheshes. Shchimra. Here on Kif Mem Ches Amid Beis. Rav Sheshes. Shchimra she Amr Yizke Ployni Ben Chosai. Shchimra says that Ployni, Yanko, Beryl, Shmer, whoever, he should be Zoicha in my house. Or Yitol he should take. Or Yachzik, he should be Machzik. Or Yikne, Kulin Loshim Maton. The comment, the Loshin Matana Be'inan can really out, like we said before. If you say Yodri Ployni Mabaye Zer, Le Amavloi Klum, Ad the Omer Tnu, O Yito, Viyikne, O Yachsin, Viyorix, Imroy, Viyorshoi, keep going Ben Benaban. So how is the Rishbam learning Pshat in the Gemara? He's saying, just like we learned yesterday, that if a person goes, a Shchimra says, I hereby give the right to live in this house to Yanko, doesn't work. He has to go and say, Tanu, give the bias to Yanko. Or an argument says, Yito, Viyikne. So, the Rishbam is a little, I don't want to say peculiar, but it's a little bit interesting. Because the problem of yesterday was not in the Lashon. The problem yesterday was in the fact that he's giving something intangible. The Rishbam said it was a dover, She'im b'mamish. So it's not so much that he used the Lashon, Yodr Ployni, and that was no good, and that's why you have to say Tanu. The reason is because that's really Dvorim B'Teilim. You have to go and hand over the neches, the piece of property, as opposed to giving this intangible right to live in the property. So the Nemuki Yosef in the back of the Gemara, unfortunately not all of you have the Nemuki Yosef, it's on the Rif. He addresses this square on, he doesn't mention it about, but he says, Umar of Sheshes. I don't think it's in the Sing Gemaras. Umar of Sheshes, Itzrach Rav Sheshes La'ashma Inan. Why? So you shouldn't say so Rav Sheshes is telling us, anytime you have a matanas bori or a mecher, anytime you have a kinyan, somebody makes a meshicha, somebody makes a hagbah, somebody makes a kinyan sudr, a kinyan agav, a kinyan chotzer. What else? Here there's no kinyanim, it's just dibur. Divrei shchimra kichsubin chmasarin dami. So I would think, okay, so it has to be the highest standard of divrei shchimra, a clear lashon matana. I hereby am no saying to you this particular piece of property. So I might think any other lishon this might not work. That's why he's telling us, no, that these lashonis are also lashon matana. It doesn't have to be dafka. But he can also use the Lashonis that Rav Sheshes said, Yitoil and Yizke and Yachzik and Yakne or Yigna, all of those Lashonis work. But now we do have some vague Lashonis, which the Gemara asks, Yiboilahu, onto the top of Kuf Memtes, Amid Aleph, Yehena Behen Mai. What happens if he says, I'm giving this, that he should go, and the Nehena, he should have Hanoah from this property. So what's the Shaila now? Because the word Hanoah could mean broad Hanoah, I'm handing over to him this house, lock, stock, and barrel. Or Hanoah could mean, go inside the house, sit there for a few minutes, and now you've had Hanoah.
Could it be like yesterday when we said that he could live in it, without owning it?
So what the Gemara said yesterday, if he only says, I give the right to live in, without giving him the right to own it, that does not work. Because that's intangible.
So let's say that was his intention. He wanted to let him just live in it without owning it. What would he have to say?
What we have to say is, I give him this property for the period of whatever the rest of his life, only for living in it and not to sell it and not to give it away to anyone else, only to go and use it during his lifetime. At the end, after 120, then it goes either to Yankel or Beryl, or it's going to go to the Yorshim of the Nifter of the Shchimra.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to the top of the Amud, he says, Yehena behen mahi, dinehevei kulu matone komar. When he used the Lashon Hanoah, when you're telling him, I'm giving you all the benefit of this property, sounds like he's actually conveying the property. Or you do it, lishani minayu midi komar. Or no, maybe when he says Yehena mehen, means, you should have a little Hanoah. Go in, sit down for a few minutes, take a break, take a rest. It's drizzling outside. Stand inside for a couple of minutes. Or yiroh ebehen, you should appear inside this property. Mahu yamid behen mahu. you can stand in the property. Yishan bohen, you can rest in the property. Mao, all of these lishoynos are very weak lishoynos. Does it mean a full-fledged matana, or does it mean these types of vague, ambiguous lishoynos? Gemara teiku, and this the Gemara doesn't have a clear answer. We're going to have to wait for Elyonah. Now, you recall, before we got into these lishoynos, the last tikkun Gemara of yesterday was what happens if a person was higdish kol nechos of the amad, or hifkir kol nechos of the amad, or he gave all of his nechosim to the aniyim for tzedakah, the amad. So he asked, what would be the situation over there? Does he give it back? Does he get it back? Normally, if he hands over all of his nechosim, if he distributes all the nechosim to whoever he distributes them to, the amad, he gets it all back. Now the question is, instead of hegdish, what about machar kol nechosim mahu? He sold all of his nechosim shortly before his passing, and now, Baruch Hashem Amad, he's restored, he recovered, he defied all of the doctor's predictions. Some of you may remember my uncle, Reb Lezer Schreiber, yes, Kren Levracha, was a mespalel here, and he learned the daf every day with us for many, 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 many years. Anyway, he had an older brother by the name of Reb Abram Schreiber. This Reb Abram Schreiber was a very, very nice fellow, very, very, very correct, very gentlemanly. Anyway, back in the 1930s, there was a Knessia Gedoyla in Vienna, and Reb Chaim Uzer Gajensky came to Vienna to be there as part of the Gedoyla Yisrael, part of the whole Knessia Gedoyla, and they asked Abram Schreiber, who lived in Vienna, to be his misharis, to be like his gaba, his shamas, during the whole period of time that he was there. Since Reb Chaim Uzer was considered to be one of the Gedoyla Ador,
was he in London?
He was originally he was in Vilna.
Oh,
he was in Vilna. He died in Vilna.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he didn't go to Israel.
No. He was killed in the war.
My father was there in Vilna, August 1940.
Anyway, bottom line is he was there in the Knessia Gedoyla, and Abram Schreiber was accompanying him everywhere, when in the car, in the taxi, wherever you went. You know, he took care of them A to Z, like a real son, like an einikel, etc. Anyway, at the end of his stay there, after a week or 10 days, he said to Avram Schreiber, I want to give you a bracha, you should be zoiche to Arichas Yomim. So Avram Schreiber said, Rebbe, how much does that mean? What is Arichas Yomim? He said, Arichas Yomim means, Mechem, you live 100 years. It's a beautiful, beautiful bracha. Anyway, back in the 1950s, this Avram Schreiber was very, very sick. He was in the hospital here at Mount Sinai, and the doctors basically said, you can call the Chevra Kadisha, it's just a question of time. Anyway, bottom line is, he was at that time in his 50s, and everybody was predicting, you know, we're going to have to get a kever shortly, it's going to be a very grave situation. Guess what happened? Baruch Hashem, he survived all of the surgeries and all the doctors' predictions. He outlived the doctors and the nurses and all the rest, and he passed away to the age of 102. 102. So he surpassed the 100, the bracha that he got from Chaim Moise. So we have over here all of these cases of the shchimaras that think the doctors say, da 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 da, that's why they're giving, they're selling, they're being maktish, then they're omad, and then they recover, and then they're going to be fine.
We say mana shchimara, we don't say.
So very good. So that's why we have any boilu. If we knew what the din was, we wouldn't have to ask. What happens when Omad, can he go back to all of the lekuchos and said, I sold it because I thought you were going to, but now the Baruch Hashem I recovered, I want to get all my properties back, and of course I'll give you back the money. So Omrav Yunam Rav im Omad ein echoizer. Sorry, you've no chazori, you cannot get your properties back. Too late. However, the same Rav Yehuda Marav is in the Rav Yehuda Marav im Omad Choyzer. It's the Chastira, make up your mind. Omad Choyzer, Omad Eina Choyzer. V'loi pligi, it's not a machloikis, it's not a stira. Hodisno l'zuzi be'inayu, hodiparinu be'choyva. It depends whether the money is still around or whether he's already spent it. As long as this moicher, this shchimra, when he sold it, he has all the funds, all in escrow, in a bank account, whatever, he still has the cash, he can go back to the Kuchas and say, you knew my matzav, you know, you saw that I wasn't at the closing. Everybody told you that I was Nebuch Rachman Litzlan in the deathbed, and that's why I sold everything. Now, I have the money still, and Baruch Hashem, I recovered, I want to get my properties back. He's entitled to get his properties back. However, if he already spent all the money, What did he use the money for? Why did he sell all his properties right before he passed away? Because he wanted to go and pay off all of his creditors. He didn't want to leave this world with creditors saying, yin, 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 blah, 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 that he didn't go and pay back his debts. So that's why he paid them all off. If he has no money left, then he loses that right of redemption, of getting it back.
And if he paid off his debts, then what's he getting? How is he getting the property back? The Lukuchos want a refund, so...
Well, for sure. So they have to borrow, take a mortgage.
Okay, okay.
Because Ariel is a very, very generous, magnanimous person. He'll lend them a couple of bucks, etc., etc.
How about if the Lukuchos have not paid? You just have to pay him an IOU to New York.
But then you can certainly get it back, because he didn't even take the money. And it's much easier. Here we're talking about he's giving the money back. Here you don't even have to give him the money back. He says, let's just tear up the IOU and we're done.
And what was the case with the Hektish and whatever?
That was the money at the end. They was Makdish Konchot. That Gemara ended with a teiku. We wait Tish B'Yatatz. Wait for Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come back. He's going to have a lot of work to do.
He's going
to
be very busy.
Very busy the first couple of days because he's going to have to answer thousands of questions. Okay, Ibayil, the next question is Shchimra Shehoide Mahu. What happens if Shchimra that he was Moide? What means that he's Moide? He's Moide that this property that I own, whether it's Karka, whether it's metalklin, this property does not belong to me. It belongs to Yankel Berel. Do I have any evidence? No. But this is a statement that the Shchimra made before he passed away.
A deathbed confession.
A deathbed confession. Very good. In the Talmudic literature, it's called Odisa, a Lashon of Hoidah, that he's Moida. We all are familiar with the concept of if you have a Din Torah, and one of the two sides is Moida, Moide has the same status of Kamei Edom Dami.
Hodas
Baldin Kamei Edom Dami. Thank you. That's in the case of a litigation. Here we're talking about, does that same apply, that same rule apply, this Hodas Baldin, in the case of a Shchimra, that it should have the effect like a Matana Shchimra. That's the Gemara. Shaila, the Gemara is going to tell us a very interesting story. The Shchimra was Moide. In other words, he said, this property that I own, everybody thinks I own the property. The truth of the matter is, I don't own it. It really belongs to Yankel or to Berel. And now he, the Shchimra, passes away. Yankel or Berel heard the good news that they own this property. And they say, you heard? We have a recording. It's recorded that the Nifter said that this belongs to us. We want. Now, what's the Shaila? My daughter's about then, can we hate him though? Rishbam says we find in the Gemara a number of times a person doesn't want to be lahasbia esbanav. He doesn't want them to have a reputation out there that they happen to be multimillionaires. Why? Number one, their ego shouldn't go up. And number two, that they shouldn't be constantly be beleaguered by either people that want to do deals or people that want to solicit funds.
He doesn't want government taxing them.
Or INRA.
Exactly. He wants to keep them low profile, very under the radar screen. So then, when he passed away, well, this property, even though it says Trump Manor, that doesn't really belong to me, belongs to the bank. I gave fictitious affidavit saying it's really worth $1 billion, it's really worth $50 million, and things of that nature. Anyway, so therefore, when he was Moida, is this the type of thing that Yankel Berel can afterwards say, oh, he was Moida, I want the property? Or do you go and say, Odom osi shaloi lahazbiya as banav, he wants them to be lahazbiya from Lashon of Sviya, that they shouldn't feel satiated, oh, now I'm a Grace of Kanaker, I'm a multimillionaire, or vis-a-vis other people, that people should not go and treat them that way, he wants them low profile, therefore he says, it doesn't belong to me, but in truth, it really does belong to me. Anyway, so the Shal Shchimra Shahidamah, what's the Toshima? The Gemara tells us a story about a person by the name of Isser Giyoira. Who was Isser Giyoira? So the Rishbam explains it a little bit, doesn't go into all of the details that we find elsewhere in Shas, in particular in Masechtas Ksubos, that Shmuel had a couple of daughters, and those daughters were unfortunately taken hostages and by the Goyim.
Is this Shmuel the prophet or Shmuel the rabbi?
Shmuel the Amora.
The Shmuel the Amora that we find. Even if I would say that Shmuel the prophet, and you would ask me, is it the first one or the second one, right?
Shmuel the
Amora. Yeah. Exactly.
Shmuel the Nardai.
Anyway.
The Nardai.
The famous Samuel that we have throughout the Talmud. So two of his daughters, unfortunately, were taken into captivity. Eventually they were released, and one of the captors, he not only did he do tshuva, he decided to be megayer, decided to convert. And he married one of these young ladies. And he previously lived with the young lady when he was still a goy. In the middle of her pregnancy, he was megayer, and then he became a full-fledged Jew. After she eventually gave birth, Baruch Hashem, now what's the status of the child?
Right.
So the Gemara calls that Hayrosoi Shiloi Biktusha. The pregnancy was in a period when the father was not Kadosh, he was still a Gentile. Vleidosa Biktusha, by the time the child arrived in this world, the father, Baruch Hashem, was already a Ger. Now, does that have an effect on the child directly? No, because since the mommy was a Jewess, that's the daughter of Shmuel, he's going to be a Jew regardless of whether the father was Jewish or not Jewish. Whether it will be a pagam in his neshama, that's not our discussion today. But the point is that the son, when he was born, and they gave him a bris, they gave him the name Mari, or Mary. The Gemara refers to him as Reb Mary. Very often the Gemara refers to him as Mary Bas Rachel instead of Mary Bar Rachel. Thank you. Why do they refer to Mary Bar Rachel? Normally you don't have the name of the mommy in Shas, because we don't want to refer to the father, because the father was a goy, and he was did the Hayrasa Shalei Bekdush, he impregnated her.
But he converted.
Subsequently.
Yeah.
Good. But every single time, you're going to refer to him as the son of the convert who impregnated his mommy when he was still a goy. So therefore, it may have negative connotations, so we don't refer to
him. Is this for shidduch purposes?
That's a very good question. But bottom line, our Gemara tells us is that Issig Yoira, who was that ger, the person that converted, and he got the interesting name Isur, perhaps that's supposed to tell us something, that he lived with the wife be Isur, and then subsequently he became Heter, but his name was Issig Yoira. Havale, and he apparently was a man of some means. Havale, he had Tracer Alfei Zuzi, 12,000 Zuzim. Where were they? It wasn't in his home, it was in Bei Rava. It was in Rava's home. And the Mephoshim say it was in Rava's house. In fact, Rava stashed it away somewhere.
He was a banker.
Thank you. Kenzan. That Rava put it away somewhere. The reason why he put it away is it should not be easily accessible to thieves. Fine. He had this largesse. And Issig Yoira, unfortunately, was also now a Shchimra, and he would have wanted to give his money, his assets, to remarry his son. So now the Gemara is going to pose a bunch of problems. How is the money going to get from Isser to Ramari? So Ramari, his son of Issig Yoira, his pregnancy was Shalei Bitusha. In other words, the father at that time was still a Gentile. But by the time he was born, Baruch Hashem, Issig Yoira was already a Ger. What's the significance of that? Significance of that is there's no din of Yerusha. Because had Issig Yoira been a Ger first, at the time that he married the daughter of Shmuel, that Rochel, then this would have been like a normal Ger, marrying a Jewess, that's fine. And then the son would, of course, been his, not only his biographical son, he would have been his halachic son, because it's a father and a son. The father is Jewish, and the son was like every father and son. However, because of the fact that he was a Gentile at the time that Remari was conceived, he is not considered to be the halachic father of Remari. And therefore, if and when Issig Yoira passes away, his Yerusha would not fall to Ramari, but rather, who would it fall to? He had no other heirs, no other Yarshim. It would just be Hefker. The wife, Minatoyra, doesn't go and Yarshin from a husband. Only a husband Yarshins from a wife. The Yarish Isa. That's Minatoyra. That being the case...
What's the story of that? Because we had that the case of a whore, Yakir, at the time of his birth, mm-hmm. But not at the time of his conception. Why are we? What's the source that the conception is the moment when a child earns rights vis-a-vis inheritance? Birth, I understand, we had a pasuk, but conception? That seems to be pushing it a little bit further back in time.
The Gemara here doesn't go into the Makoiris. We have that more in Kiddushin and Ksuvis. But if you look at the Rishbam, right before the wide lines, the last one, Ger Lav Bar Irusihu,
yes.
Trachmona Afkari Lezare Doiv Gechov. Zera would become his hefker as long as he was a goy. And so therefore, he impregnated her with hefker, if you will, and therefore it's not a Jewish child. The child is the son of a goy. Yes, by the time he gave birth, the time his mother gave birth, the father had become Jewish. Mazel tov. He could have become Jewish a day earlier, a day later. The time that he was conceived in the mommy's womb, the father was a goy. Therefore, there is not considered to be a halachic father and son
Yerusha relationship.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. So now,
how can they prove it? I mean, this case you can, but generally speaking, that's an issue that I have with every care.
Well, let's say when the ger got married, when the day of the marriage was, and you know that at that time he was still a goy. And we know that 8 months later he was Megayer and everybody has a certificate of gear. And then a month after that, there was a baby boy born. Oh, beautiful, merry. Everybody's very merry. Maybe that's how they got the name Mary. But the point is, it's crystal clear that the wife was pregnant, she was visibly pregnant, before he got his certificate of gear from the vessel. Anyway, that's not just a certificate, of course, it means Kabbalah Samitz is going to the mikveh, having the bris, and all that. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so now he, Rav Meri, was Bei Rav Hava, in other words, he was learning in the yeshiva. Rava was the one that's the gatekeeper, he's the one that's holding on to the money. Issigyoy is the one that is unfortunately on his deathbed and would want that this money be transferred to Rav Meri, his son. So Rava is now thinking to himself, how can we accomplish this? Can this be accomplished? How are we going to effect the possibility of Rav Meri receiving those funds from his father? If you're talking about through Yerusha, there is no din of Yerusha, like we just saw the Rishba. Even Matana Shchimra Kiri Yerusha Shavu Rabban. That's word for word like the Rishbam that we saw back in Kuf Mem Chesam at Aleph, which was quoting our Gemara. The Matana Shchimra was adopted and legislated by the Rabbanan so that it should be Ke'en Yerusha, almost like a subset of Yerusha. And therefore, Kol Heichad Isa B'Yerusha, Isa Matan. Kol Heichad Less B'Yerusha, Less Matan. If there is a possibility of Yerusha, then you can have a Matan Shchimra. If you have no possibility of Yerusha, you don't have a Matan Shchimra.
It's not in the Parsha.
It's not in the Parsha.
You can give it to a third party. It doesn't have to be Jewish. It doesn't have no blood relationship.
Why can't you give them as a stranger?
Right, I'm saying a stranger. It's a stranger, but you're saying that the Goy is not in the Parsha of Yerusha, so therefore he's not in the Parsha of Matan Shchimra. So.
That's exactly right. So now,
it's the source. The source is not in the
Parsha. Oh, we're going to soon find out. Who is not in the Parsha of Yerusha? Are we talking about the Issa Giyoira, who is the Shchimra? Does he have to be in the Parsha of Yerusha? Or is it Rav Meri, who is the beneficiary, the recipient? Does he have to be? Is a machloikis between Rishbam and the Toises. It's very, very clear. If you look at the first line of the Rishbam, the Lesi Berusha, Ki Goin Rav Meri, Lesen Nami B'dimaton Shchimra, since he could not be Yoresh from his father. Why? Because his father was a goy when he was conceived. No, I bazoi, there's no din matana shchimra either, because it's a subset of Yerusha. No Yerusha, no matana.
So how can a shchimra, according to Rashbam, give anything?
One second. It's less Yerusha going to marry. Mary cannot receive matana shchimra from his biological father. I said biographical before, biological father. Now there is, however, a toisis. What's the toisis? It's the first big toisis here on the bottom, the fourth wide line. Called Isim Yerusha Isim Matan Shchimra. Nearly Dim Hoyu LeGer Bonim. What happens if the Ger had children after he became a Ger? Then Isim Matan Shchimra. He's now in the Parsha of Yerusha. Avagav the Hamakabel Ger the less of Yerusha. Even if the Makabel was a Ger, because I look at the Nosein. If the Nosein was a Ger who had Bonim, so he's in the Parsha of Yerusha, even though if his son happens to be a Ger, less of Yerusha, it makes no difference. The Iker is whether the Noisin is in the Parsha, not whether the Mekabel is. Ah, so in other words, since Issig Yoira had no other sons, nearly the Mohoyu the Ger Bonim, Ismutot Shkimra, after the Mekabel, Ger, less of Yerusha. And not on the Makabel. However, Rishbam said very clearly, Rav Meri, less than Nami, Rameri obviously is the Makabe. Issegyor is the one that is the Noisin. So we have a machloikis between Rishbam and the Toisvis. Who has to be in the parsha? Is it the father or the son? So in our situation, we have Issegyor was not in the parsha of Yerusha because he had no other children. And there's nobody that he can go and be Moirish to because his biological father, mother, siblings, children, that's all worthless or meaningless for purposes of Hilchos Yerusha min HaToyah. Maybe under secular Goyish law, there's some sort of Yerusha that he has with his former children, or former, it's not that they're former, it's still his children, but they're Goyish children. But under Jewish law, there's no such thing as Yerusha anymore, and therefore he could not be Morish to Reb Meri, his son, and therefore he could also not give him a Matana, because it was a problem with him, with Issegyor. However, Rishbam learns that the problem is with Reb Meri, that Reb Meri was not able to receive it because of the fact that he was not Yerusha vis-a-vis his father. Since he couldn't get a Yerusha from his father, from Issegyor, he could not get a Matana Shchimra from him either. Now you have a question.
According to Rashbam then, how does a Matana Shchimra to a stranger work? That stranger is not in the parish of Yerusha.
As long as the stranger is Jewish, there's no problem. Because as a Jew, he is in the parish of Yerusha. Meaning, what happens if Chas Hashem, he passes away, whatever belongs to him goes to his sons. He has no sons, it goes to his daughters. He has no daughters, it goes to his father.
So Agir and his children are forever inferior regarding Yerusha for that reason?
Chas Hashem, they're not inferior, they just have a different halacha. If a father who's a ger, and he has a son who's a ger, and he wants to go and give him any type of property, he should give Matanis Bori when he's alive and kicking and everything is fine. Once he becomes a Matanis Chimra, then it becomes far more problematic. But you find that the end is going to be an Eitzah.
Even if he was already a ger before he was conceived.
That's a different story. If he's a ger before he's conceived, he's a full-fledged Jew. Okay. That's for sure. He can be Moirish, he has Dinim just like every Jew. He's not a Kohen or a Levi, but he's just like any Israel, all of the Dinim. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so Rava is now scratching his head, so to speak, and saying, Rav Issegyor won't be able to give these funds to Rav Meri because Yerusha. He also won't be able to give him the Matana Shchimra. So what should we do? Zok to Gemara, L'chari Aven Eitzah, Ibe Meshicha, let now, as we speak, let Rav Meri go to the funds and be Moshech them. Let him take it. It's 12,000, they were probably in a nice few bundles or bags or whatever. Let him be Moshech them. Less Nagabe. The problem is that the two are not next to each other. He is in the Beirav, in the Yeshiva, and the funds are not presently available. Rava pushed them, hid them in a nice place. Oh, that's going to be the next.
Zochan Adam Shlomo Fanav.
Somebody say, everybody here. We still have a couple more lines before we can go and pile up all the kashas. And let's go and make a Kenyan Sudra. That's a very, very simple thing. You pick up the handkerchief, unmakne it, and everything is fine. Ein matbe and nikne b'chalipin. Don't you remember? We learned back in Maseches Kedushin that you can't go and be makne. A matbe. Matbe means money. B'chalipin. Chalipin is with a Sudra. E agav karka. Who said agav karka, Brother Shai?
Someone here
in the audience, yeah. E agav karka. Leslie Ara. They didn't have land to be able to go be makne agav karka. Oh, even Mamet Shloshta, we had yesterday, Mamet Shloshta, and the three are together. He sholach li loy azilna. The only way that we could have all three together, apparently Issegyor was not in the condition to be able to move. He was on his deathbed, he was a shchimra. And therefore, even if we can get his son, Rav Meri, to come back from the yeshiva into the room, and then I would also participate. Why would I, Rav, participate? Because I'm the shoimer. So therefore, Issegyor can go and say to me, you are my shoimer, instead of giving the money back to me, give the money back to Rav Meri, to my son. And that would work Mamet Shloshta. Says Rava, I'm not going. Leia Zilna, I'm not going to go. Now why wouldn't he want to go? So, if you want to look at this in a very negative light, simply because Rava is saying, since these are Nechse Ger, if there is no legal way to get these funds to Rav Meri, so then they're going to be hefker, like all nechsi ager, and I'm going to be able to go and be zoichem in a hefker. And that's the way it sounds like, because if you look at the lines right before the wide lines of the Rishbam, Omer Rava, go back a couple of lines in the Gemara, Omer Rava, four lines before the wide lines, Omer Rava, Mai Kanilu, Behilkach, Ani Zoichem, and I'll be Zoichem. the next hager din gehavke. It's under my control. There's nobody else that's closer to the money physically than me, and I'm the only one that knows where it is. I'll be zoicha, and therefore I'll get it. That's what it sounds like. So therefore, says Rava, I'm not going to the Mamish Lashdan. There'll be no other Eitzah. The money will be mine. Maska the Rav Ika.
Shliach is no good
for Mamish Lashdan. The Meforshim bring a raya from this Gemara that you cannot use a shliach for Mamish Lashdan. You have to be that person himself.
It sounds very strange.
Yeah, we're gonna get back to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm just whetting your appetite. He has other concerns that have to still be addressed.
This is a big concern.
Yeah, this is.
Anyway, so let's try to learn quickly so that Ariel can benefit. Maskel of Ika Berei the Rav Ami Amai Veloidi Iser the Halein Zuzay the Rav Meri Ninu Vleknenu Beudisa. Remember we spoke about Odisa at the beginning of this sugya. How do we get into this fascinating story? Ah, you know what Isig Yoyer could do? He could go make a proclamation on his deathbed. I'm here by Moida that these monies don't belong to me. They belong to Rav Meri. So if you're going to go and say that a Shchimra Shahoide works, then I would be able to have a situation where Isig Yoyer can give the money to his son, to Rav Meri, even without the parsha of Yerusha, and without the parsha of Maton Shchimra, it'll be the Oidisa of a Shchimra. The question is that effective? Said the Rav Ika Berei Rav Ami, I have an Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? Let Isser go and be Moid Alein Zudi Rav Meri Ninu, like Ninu Baraisa, but Odisa, and then he'll be kind with this quote-unquote Kinyan Odisa. It's not really a Kinyan, but this is what the Gemara says, that this Odisa, the Chayr, would work. So Gemara Ada Hachi, Nofak Odisa Vebei Isser. Isser heard about this Eitzah Trever of Ika Berei Rav Ami, and he said, yes, these funds do not belong to me, they belong to my son, to Rav Meri. And guess what? It worked. And everybody said, yes, this Odisa has the effect just like a Kinyan, and it goes to him. And Ikbed Rava was upset. Why was he upset? Omer Kamigamri, Tanasali, Inchi, Umafsidili. Why did you, Rav Ika, have to give an Eitzah Toivah? Who asked you? By your saying that it's Odisa, then he gave the money to Rav Meri, and I lost out. So the facts are pretty easy. The only question is, Rava would say something like that,
sour,
money
grapes.
Hungry. Exactly.
Sour grapes.
He's so money hungry that he's going to go
jump. It's hard to
imagine.
That's what I'm saying. So the optics are very.
That's why I want you to stay so you can hear the
So there's the Meiri. And the Meiri brings this whole story. When he was about to die, Hoya Nifgad, Rava, was done by Atzmai. Shemin Hadin, Loi Hoya Oise Haben, Koina Oisem Klal. Min Hadin, there is no legal way or channel that he can go get the funds. However, Ukshe Zirim Lai, therefore I, Rava, when Isig Yor will pass away, when I will give it to Rav Meri, it'll be Mitredis Chesed, Oi Mitzach Tehe Ruach Hachom Noiche Menu. What is the Meiri saying? Rava did not intend taking it for himself. Rather, he wanted to go and be a role model for everybody else. In a situation like that, there is no legal remedy to get the funds to the son. Do a chesed, even though we're talking about 12,000 zuzim, a huge amount of money. 200 zuzim were considered to be a yearly income. These are 12,000, which is at least 60 times as much. Sorry, exactly. So therefore, Rava wanted to go and do a chesed. He wanted to have Ruach HaChom Neichem, and the people should say, that's the way a Yid should go and act. Go lefnim Mishir HaSedin. Says, now Rava, I'm disappointed with Rav Ika for taking away that possibility for me to be able to do such a gevaldige chesed and to be able to go and show people how they should act under these types of
circumstances.
Exactly. So Rav Mari wanted to protect it. He wanted it by right, not by matana.
Right,
he didn't want to say, I thank you, Rava, for matana.
Right.
I don't want matana, so I want what's mine by right. You don't like matanas, do you?
Yes, well, it depends what, 12,000,
On a hodah, also, does it have to be true? Is it going to say he, so he can admit that he owes that
right? He's also lying.
Right, he's not saying truth. Right,
lying,
saying it does.
So
why is he saying it belongs to him? It doesn't. It belongs to Israel.
How can you profit from a lie? Or I thought
it was a liar.
Is it a white lie? Maybe
I don't even know if it's a lie. He. What happens if Issachar says, I'm giving it to my son and it's his? You tell me legally that doesn't work.
Because there's no Kenyan.
Because no Kenyan, fine. But since I have decided to convey it to him, even though I don't have a legal mechanic to go and give it to him, but that's my feel that I'm giving it to him. So the way to legally get around this is to go and say that I'm Moise that belongs to him. How does it belong to him? Because I gave it to him. Yeah, legally I couldn't give it to him, but my whole heart and soul is in giving it to him. So a way to effect such a giving to him is like a git to the other boy in Kechad. Right? I want to give it to my son, such I can't. I know that it belongs to him. So automatically now it does belong to him. So now it's not fictitious anymore. Taka belongs to him. Anyway, I see you're not happy.
I would have given him a small little 2x2 piece of karka. Uh-huh. Bought that and do Kinanagov like we had other places in the Gemara where they want to take up Trumas or Meisters or from another place and they...
Anyway,
okay.
We can
Rabbi Gamliel,
thank you for joining
us. Yeshua.
Okay, so let's continue on. Zokti Moriyat, Shir Karka Koshu Matanos Kayemis. You recall back in the Mishnah of Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis, we said that Shchimer Rebbe gave away all of his nechasim, and then Baruch Hashem Va'omad, and then he was Baruch Hashem, he recovered. Everything comes back, Choyshu, because all of these Matanos were all Almanas, and he was going to go and pass away. Baruch Hashem, he recovered, gets it back. But what happens if he gave away everything but a karka kosher, which he kept for himself, and Omad, and he survived, and he recovered, he does not get back any of the other matonites, because that's considered to be a matonish shchimer ben miktsas, and he loses it. What's the reason why? Because since he kept a karka kosher for himself, in other words, he had that backup option in case he recovers, so we assume... And Umdina said the Gemara Rishim Menasi, Rishim Shazuri, that he gave everything away, to, even if he does recover, because that's why he kept back that matana kosher, that karka kosher. Now the obvious question is the kama kosher. What is the definition of a kosher? Omagino Marav karka ketei bar nesosai. As long as this karka supplies enough income for him to live, he and his immediate family for the forthcoming time. In other words, for that year or several years, and even if the karka, now if he had a dekel, for instance, and died, so he can go and plant a new one. So in other words, he's left a safe source of income for himself, for his family, if and when he recovers, even though he will no longer own his own, this great estate that he had, but he left enough k'dei parnasa. So the word koshu, therefore, is lav davka. It means he left a good income stream. Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba Omar, I'll go one step further. You don't even have to hold on to karka. Even metaltal k'dei parnasosai. If he left enough for himself, metaltalin, stocks and bonds or whatever other metaltalin that produce income, says Rabbi Yirmi, that's all too enough. And if he gave away all of his karkois, all of his properties, they're all given to the recipients and he is left just with these metaltalin im omad. Reb Zeira was very, very pleased with both of these memories, and Reb Zeira said, "Ooh, kam mechuvnon shmeitze de sabi." Mechuvnon means that they're mechuvnon, that they're both saying the same. And Rishbam said, "Kam yofa kivnu." They're both saying such a beautiful, beautiful halacha. In which respect, the sabi means of the elders. That's Rav Yehuda Marav and Rav Yirmi bar Abba. Why? Because karka my time am I. What's the reason why a karka koshu is enough? Dikoi, that if he recovers, samachale, he'll have something to go and his backup option that he can rely on. No, metaltin nami, ikoi, samachale vai. If you're telling me metaltin have the functional equivalent that he has stocks and bonds in very strong companies that he can rely on, that he's going to go and get a nice study income, so it doesn't have to be dafka from karka and metaltin. That's what Reb Zeira said. Reb Yosef, however, was not happy. Maskel Reb Yosef, umay kavanosa. You're saying over here that it was kama mechuvnan, Mike kavanta. Why are you praising these two rabbis and you're saying about them, oh, Baruch Hashem, they both said such a beautiful shtikl Torah and they both said the same thing? I respectfully disagree, says Rabbi Yosef. Number one, mandiyama metaltin, the second mandiyama that said even metaltin koshu. Karka tanan, read the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, and quoted at the top line, Shir karka koshu, nishka metaltalin koshu. If it was metalton, the Mishnah would say even a greater chiddush. He gave away all of his karkois. He just left some metalton. So Mishnah v'chayre davka. Number two, even according to the first manyam, even a marav that said karkite panasosoi, it doesn't say kne panasosoi. Koshu tanan sounds like a very slim amount, even though the park is only 4x4 amas and only produces $10 a year income. So therefore Rav Yosef was not impressed by Reb Zeira's saying, wow, these two great sabi said such a gvaldig shikotar. From here, Amalei Abaye, until the two dots on the Amid Aleph, Abaye is going to defend these two sabi to Rav Yosef. Says Abaye, v'chol heicha detoni karka, karka davka. Every time it says in the Mishnah the word karka, it means dafka karka. It cannot be defined as metaltlin or something else. But tanan, I'll bring you a ray from a Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Mishnah Masechtas Peah. L'choyre, it doesn't fit into Masechtas Peah, but we'll see a little bit later on in the Gemara how this got to Masechtas Peah. Ha'kuizu kol nechos of the avda. A person has an eved, and he says to the eved, I'm giving you all of my nechosim. Obviously, one of the nechosim that he owns is the Eved himself. So if he goes and writes out a piece of paper, Shtar Shichra, you, my dear Eved, not only I'm giving you your, he doesn't even mention that he's being Meshachar him, that he's freeing him, he's just telling him, I'm giving you all of my nechosim, automatically, Yotzim ben Chayrim, the Eved will go free. Why will he go free? Because one of the nechosim that he's getting is himself. No, once he's himself, then he can be the master that frees himself. He doesn't even have to go and give himself a shtar shichra. Just the fact that master and eved have now merged into one, automatically he's going to be a free person. But what happens if he gave kol nechos of the avdei and shayer karka kolshu? He left over abyssal and karka. What's the din? Loy yotze ben chayru. Loy yetze ben chayru. He does not become a ben chayru. Why not? He only held back. He gave his eved, I'm giving you everything that I own, except for a karka koshu. Doesn't work. What's the reason why? So to Rishbam, because when he used the term karka, he really meant the eved. Why do we say he meant the eved?
Because
avodim hukshim lekarkois from the pasuk. V'nishnachaltem oisim levneichem acharechem lereshes oisim achuza. So an eved becomes like a nachla. What's the din by a nachla? What's the din by a karka? Just like you are hold back a karka koshu. When he said karka koshu, he really had in mind the eved. And therefore, the word karka we see is lav dafka. It's broad enough to cover an eved.
What was the case where we had a couple weeks ago, we said the eved was not considered part of karka. We differentiated in a certain case.
I don't remember offhand. I remember something about the karka being that eved being like metaltlin, but at the moment,
I like metaltlin because they move. Yeah, nadi.
But there was some. I forgot in what context. All right. Anyway, we'll have to look it up.
It was one of the contexts that we had was if a person gave away a field to someone else or a bias to someone else, and he says if he just says the bias, then he doesn't get the Diyotel Yoyna.
Right.
If he gets the, he gives him the Soda, he doesn't get the various things in the Soda. However, if he says, Soda v'chalashi yesh boy, then there's a clear whether he gets the Avodim. And the Gemara says, no, an Evid is not part of the Karka. He would get the Karka together with Avodim that you need to hold down the Tvur that shouldn't fly away, and he would get
the vineyard, the sticks in the vineyard that hold up the vines.
And if you have over there the stall in which the shomer, the security guard would be there, that would ultimately depend whether it's affixed to the ground. It's not affixed to the ground, but Gemara says that avodah would not be included. Why? Avodah mahuk shel karkois. Yet, since they are metalto, that they are mobile, they move, they're naidi, and therefore they're not included in the karka. So in that respect, even though they're called karka, nevertheless, they have the status like metalto for those purposes. Anyway, it could be another Gemara as well that you had in mind. But getting back to our Gemara, so far, what Abai has proven is that the word karka in a Mishnah doesn't have to be dafka karka. It can include even avot. Now, moreover, as we'll see in the Gemara on the top of the Amud, if you go to Kuf Nun Amud Aleph just for a short moment, you'll see Vom Rav Dimi Bar Yosef and Rav Luza, Osam Metaltlin Shir Eitzel, evidently Osam Metaltlin Shir Eitzel Ksuba. We'll see what that means shortly. But Rishbam already quotes that now to say that what Abaye is saying is that just like when you say Shayer Karka Koshu, it means an Eved, even had the Mishnah used the term Shayer Metalfalin Koshu, it would also mean an Eved. And why is that? Because although, as everybody pointed out a moment ago, an Eved is Hukish Lekarkois, halachically, in terms of legally, however, in terms of the physicality of an Eved is Metalfal. It is Karka Denaidi, it's Karka that's on the move, because an Eved can walk from here to there and everywhere else. So in that respect, it's considered to be a Metalfalin. Ah, since it's considered to be Metalfalin, even though the Mishnah uses the term Karka, Karka means Eved, Eved means Metalfalin, and therefore Karka includes Metalfalin. So therefore, the first problem that Rav Yosef said, this Mandiyama that said Metalfalin or Olds included, Shteita L'Mishnah Karka, says Rav Yosef, says Abaya, Karka is Lavdavka. Karka can include Eved, and Eved is Metalfalin, so therefore Karka can also refer to Metalfalin. Now, before we finish that part of the discussion, we finish off the Mishnah. Rav Shimon disagrees with Tanakam. Rav Shimon, Oymer lo Oylam hu ben Chayrim. If you just Mishaya Karka Koshu, Karka means Karka, and that's all that it means. It means real estate, it doesn't mean Avodim, it doesn't mean Metalklin, and therefore he will be a Ben Chayrim if his Odoin gave him Kol Nechosav minus Karka Koshu. The only time I'd agree with you, says Rav Shimon to the Tanakama, at Shiyomer Kol Nechosin Esunum Leploini, Avdi, Chutz Mi'echem Mari Boishabehen. What happens if he says, I'm giving you all my Nechosim, but I'm leaving behind 0.00001% of my Nechosim, without identifying what that was? The Gemara says, 1/10,000, so figure out how many zeros you have in terms of your fraction, in terms of your digits. But the point is, that's the only thing that I am holding back. Then he does not become a Ben Chayrin, because what the Odin is telling him in a very subtle way is, you're worth to me like 1/10,000 of all of my Nechasim, which means you're not really worth a whole lot. And that when I'm holding back that 1/10,000, I mean you, Evan. So therefore, it's really Dvar Betelem, he's not giving him anything. Okay, but what do we see from the Tanakhama? The Chayar Karka Koshu, it refers to Avodim and indirectly to Metalklin. And that's what Omer Abdimi Bar Yosef Omer Abluza. Also, Metalklin Shir Eitzel Eved. That when we use the term Eved or Metalklin, those can also be synonymous terms, if you will, since even though an Eved is hookish to Karkois, nevertheless, he can move and therefore he's like Metalklin. For like also Metalklin Shir Eitzel Ksuba. However, in Hilchas Ksuba, there I would not say that an Eved is a shir. Now, what does that mean, Eitzel Ksuba? So now, Rishbam reminds us of a Gemara that we had a couple of weeks ago. What did it say over there? A koisiv nechosav li bonov, the kosav li ishtoi, karka koshu. This person is divvying up his nechosav, and has, let's say, two or three sons, and he says to each one of the sons, my son, you, Reuven, you get 25%. Shimon, you get 25%. Levi, you get 25%. Yehuda, you get 15%. And I leave 10%, 5% for my wife. There's a three-way machlekas over there. What is it referring to? What was her role in all of this? And one of the pshatim is that she was present and she was shetekes. Shetekes means she was quiet, she was silent. And she heard how her husband's giving out, divvying up all his nechasim, and giving her a karka koshu. Says there the Mishnah, says the Gemara, of the ksuva, says she loses her ksuva. Why is she losing her ksuva? Because since he's giving away all nechasim, then if and when he passes away, or if he were to give her a get, there's going to be nothing left. So that karka koshu is what he's giving as the ksuva substitute. So therefore she should complain and say, hey, my husband, this is not worth 200 zuz, this is worth only 10 zuz, or 15 zuz, karka koshu. She should protest, and she wasn't, she was shetekes. That means she agreed. And the Gemara explained the reason why she agreed, because she felt bad. She felt good that the husband asa'a shutefes bein habanim, that she is a shutef together with the other boys. Even though Minatoira, they're the big knackers now, they're the real estate magnates, they all own the property. By going and having her now being a shutev, she feels that she's also a shtickle knacker, she's also a shtickle balabusta, not just getting some cash, but actually having a piece of land. Because of that good feeling, she's moicheles on her ksuba. Now what happens if it turns out that instead of giving her a piece of land, he says to her, I'm giving you some avodim or an eved as your property, and that eved is worth less than the amount of ksuba. Now, and here I would not say, also without the sheer eitz ksuba, I would not say that giving an eved, or even giving metalton, that based on that she would lose her ksuba. She'll lose her ksuba if the husband gave her a piece of the rock, a piece of the karka, not if he gave her metalton and or an eved to make up. In other words, he's distributing his nechasim. For my 3-4 sons, I'm giving all of my real estate, and I have an eved and or metalton left, and I give that to my wife. She does not lose her ksuba based on that. Okay, anyway, what do I see from the combination of all of this? That when you say in your shtar, karka, karka can even mean avodim, can even mean metalkal. That being the case, Rav Yosef, with all due respect, you're wrong. These sabi are right when they said metalkal also does the trick. And furthermore, says Rav Yosef, back to Abaya. No, hasa b'din hu d'loy lisni karka. Truth of the matter is, it shouldn't use the term karka in that Mishnah in Masechtes Peah. V'ayin d'tana reisha. In fact, how did that even get there in that Mishnah? Because the reisha over there is talking also about karka. What does it say? Rabbi Akiva oimer, karka kol shu, even if you only have the smallest piece of karka, chayev es pepeya, there's still a din, you have to put pay away. It doesn't have to be a huge base saw or base core. Even if you have dalet amos or dalet amos, if it produces fruit, you got to put away pay. And you have the din of bikurim, take it to Yerushalayim. So how much pay? How much bikurim are you going to go and give?
Ain lem shir.
You just bring one apple or one.
One grape.
Good. Bikurim is all about the shiva samina. One grape or one tamar, whatever. And since you have a karka culture, it's only a prusbul. That's enough for a prusbul in the seventh year to be able to go over all of the chayes. The litmus one, it's also big enough. Nechas v'shem nechayes. You can go and be koina kinyan aga, which we spoke about before. The kesu b'shtar b'chazaka, which Brother Shai already mentioned earlier. So therefore, there we're talking about taka karka, which of course passes because we're talking about paya. You don't give paya from an evid or paya from a talton, you have to have karka. Since the Mishnah talk about karka, midday we're talking about Mishnah Machik Tani, that's why it says the sefer also the word karka. But normally if you say karka, what do you mean dafka karka? That happens to be an exception because of literary consistency, since part of the Mishnah talk about karka, and the sefer also talks about karka. Have a great day, thank you for joining us. But continuing on, right to the Mishnah. So now, that answers the question about the metalton. What about the kol shehu that Rav Yosef was complaining about? She had kol shehu, and you're telling me means kedei panasos, right? Is there no shiur, says Abaye to Rav Yosef. I'll find you another kol shehu, and we mean a substantial shiur. But tonight, the bunsa ben hurkin is oymen. Nothing. Okay, not to be confused with a blaze with Ben Horkinus. This is exactly. This is Reb Doisim Ben Horkinus. That's spelled with a kuf and this is spelled with a chuf. Anyway, so Reb Doisim Ben Horkinus Oymer, Chomesh Rechelus Goizais Mana Upras. The Bach takes out the word Mana, just Mana Upras. Chayov is Bereshus, I guess. We know there's a pasuk in the Torah that one of the Matnois Kahuna is that a person who owns sheep, every year, if he has a substantial amount of gaze is the shearings from the sheep, then he has to go and give a certain percentage to the kohen. So now, what is the minimum shear of rachis, I guess, that you have to give a portion to the kohen?
To make a belt or something? A guy who, enough to make a belt. To...
So let's see what the Gemara says. Rav Doisim Ben Horkinus says that the amount of gaze that has accumulated over the year has to be at least a mana upras. From 5 recheilos, says Rishbam, from each rochel separately. I have 5 recheilos. 5 recheilos means 5 female sheep that produce the wool. So now, if each one of them produced at least a mana upras, 5 times a mana upras would be 7.5 mana. If that's what it produced, then you have to go and give part of that to the kohen. The chumayim and the chum disagree. Chumish recheilos goyzeis kol shein. Afila abisala. You already have to give rachis, I guess, to the kohen. Okay, and we have the same question as in our Gemara. How much is a kosher? Omarav, mono upras. Didn't you say that Rav Doisim Ben Horkinus said mono upras? So the Chum say, oh, we disagree. You only have to give a kosher. How much is a kosher? Mono upras. What's the machloikis? Machloikis is that the Tanakhama holds that every one of the five recheilos has to produce a manu of pras.
Seven.
Why could nechamim, which is seven and a half, could nechamim, you need one and a half from all of them. Umavad shihu mechum mashos. But it has to be that each one of the produces at least 1/5. Since we're talking about a manu of pras, it's 1.5. Each one have to produce at least 0.3 mana, because 5 times 0.3 is 1.5. So if one of the five only produces 0.2 or 0.1, disqualified. We don't, even though
it's a total. The chiyuv.
Right. So that's the manu of pras from all five together, each one at least 0.3. Ah, so what do I see from this? That the word kol shehein can mean a substantial amount, the manu of pras. So says Abaye to Rabbi Yosef, here too, when it said karka koshu, don't say means koshu mamish. Kosher means kedei parnasasa, just like over there, the kosher means kedei manu pras. Again, if you ask the answers, hasa medin hu deloy listening kosher. The truth of the matter is it shouldn't say kosher. Vayit to come tanakama shiur rabba, since the tanakama said this very large manu pras for each one of the five, seven and a half, oh, that's a lot. It's therefore, omer iyo, nah, don't come on, you're exaggerating. We don't have to so much. Seven and a half manu, come on, give me a break. So therefore, he's saying a much smaller share, 20% of that share. Karma kosher, that's why he calls it kosher. So there's no gizot. He doesn't really mean kosher, he really means that manu upras. So therefore, Rav Zeira said that these two great rabbis, that is, Rav Yehuda Marav and Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, both said something givaldic. That when it says in the Mishnah Shir Karka Koshu, number one, Karka Lav Davka, number two, Koshu Lav Davka, Abaya. First, Rav Yosef was very offended by all of this and said, "That cannot be. It's karka, it's koshu." And Abaye defended both of them and said, "We see from other places the word karka is lavdafka, and we see koshu is lavdafka." And each time Rav Yosef answered, "That it says karka is only because of literary consistency. The Tanakhama spoke about karka. He all speaks about karka, lavdafka." And the same thing with Gabi the koshu, he really should have used the term manu upras. But because the Tanakhama was so emphatic, ooh, seven and a half, he said, ah, come on, it's much, much smaller, it's a kosher. But he really documented that one and a half, and therefore you have no raya by it to our case with the karka or the kosher. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zadke.